And so tonight I thought it would be good for us to run through three other subjects that are important to us and ought to be clear in the doctrinal statement. One is predestination, the second is providence, and the third is divine determinism. And run through that together, what we believe about these subjects, and then we'll add to the doctrinal statement. So we'll run through these quickly, and we'll pray, and have a good evening. Let's bow for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you make arrangements for us to be together, and that you give us the desire to do so, and that you meet with us. And we thank you that you are here, that Christ is in our hearts, and the Holy Spirit is present. And we thank you that we have an open Bible and opportunity to discuss the truth of your word. We pray then that we will be taught, we will learn, and it will be applied to our life every day, now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's think first of all about predestination. Probably has brought about more argument and debate than any other Christian subject through the years. The Apostle Paul had to debate that, and then those who followed him. And then a man in the 4th century arose and sort of renewed that. He is called Augustine. And then it was lost through the period known as the Dark Ages or Medieval Ages or the Age of the Holy Roman Catholic Church until Martin Luther came along. And Martin Luther revived that great truth as he studied Romans. So the word is primarily in Romans 8 and 9, and then also in Ephesians 1. Let's just read the Romans 8 passage, beginning at verse 28. Romans 8, 28. When Paul writes to them in 28, he says, "We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." Now, the way, as we study the scripture, and the way we would read this, not to change the scripture, is to say, we know that God is working all things together for good. Because that's the truth as we glean it from other parts of scripture. So it isn't that all things are working together for good out of chance or happenstance or luck. It's because God is doing it. He's making all things work together for good to those who love him, to those who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. And whom he called, these he also justified. Whom he justified, these he also glorified. So there is that word. It's not a word of human concoction. It's a word of revelation, a word which God gives to us concerning himself and what he has done. In Romans 9, Paul takes up the same argument, although the word predestination is not in Romans 9, but God says, "I will have mercy on whomsoever I will have mercy. I'll have compassion on whomever I will have compassion," because he has determined to do so previously. So we have this word in the scripture, predestination. Now, this word deals primarily with human destiny. whether people go to heaven or whether people go to hell. That's what predestination deals with. And that's what we're talking about. Has God, before any creation, made a destiny for everyone whom he created? Now we say yes, because that's what the Bible teaches us, that that has been done before. Now that word is used in Ephesians 1 and 4 and 5 and verse 11, that God before the foundation of the world has chosen us, predestined us to be adopted as sons. So yes, we say that God has predestined everyone in the human race for a destiny for all eternity, either to heaven or to hell. Now, some people get really rabidly angry because it brings up a term called double predestination. But that's a term that's unnecessary to even talk about. Predestination would include everybody. And so it's there for an eternal destiny for everybody, predestination. So that's a common thing believed by the Reformers. You have Luther and Calvin and a fellow named John Knox, who started the Presbyterian churches in Scotland, and then it died out in our country pretty much with the influx of secularism and humanism into society that came into the seminaries, grinding out pastors who did not believe in God's predetermining the destiny of the human race. A little bit of the revival of that now in across the country, where pockets of people are now returning to biblical truth about God's sovereignty and predestination. Now let's go on to the second term, providence, which ties in a little bit but deals with another part of life. Predestination deals with the eternal destiny of human beings. Providence deals with the facts and events of life right now for every one of us. Now, interestingly, the word providence is only given once in the scripture, in Acts 24:2, and it's a word which indicates that something ahead of time has caused and brought about the event. It deals with provision and protection. And it's the way God works in our life and deals with facts and events. Again, we have Romans 8:28. God works all things together for good. Now, those all things are His providence in our life. It's God planning not only eternal destiny, but God planning the nature and facts of life as they come about in our life now. That's providence. And if you look even in an English dictionary, you'll find a long list of terms associated with providence, about God having planned before facts and events that would come about. Now, what are some of those things that are providential? Whether we would be born male or female is God's providence. Who our parents were is providential. Our appearance is providential. Our personality traits are providential. Where we would be born is of God's providence. Whether we're left-handed or right-handed is God's providence. You could just go through your whole life, and it's God's providential arrangement controlling all the facts and events of our life, down to the detail. So much so that Jesus said, there's not a sparrow that falls to the ground, but that your heavenly Father knows it, and that he can count the hair on your head. And as we get older, it's not as hard for him to do that, because it changes a little there. Is this clear now? What is happening in our life is of God's providence, his provision, his protection, his plan for us, so that we don't live by luck, we don't live by chance. It isn't a roll of the dice or the flip of the cards. It's Almighty Lord God's providence in our life. Two things can happen to us about these things in life. We can become bitter and dissatisfied and question God's providence in our life. And we can take the attitude that the other guy's getting all the bricks. So when a Christian does that, we've reduced our life to luck. It's not bricks, somebody getting bricks. It's God working in our life. And if we do not accept his providence, it can bring a deep, bitter spirit, which poisons life. So we go through life carrying that unhappy, angry, and bitter because we think it isn't fair. Or we can, upon learning of God's sovereignty and God's grace and God's love, accept his providence. And not only accept it, but be thankful. And praise him and glorify him for his providence in our life. And I wish you all liked it as much as Michaela does. So here is providence. God's doing this. And just think how uniquely each person is. And God has his hand, his life involved in our lives to the very minutest detail. React against or accept with joy and thankfulness. Turn to Proverbs 16:33. So, Psalms, Proverbs 16:33. Yeah, okay. Now, the scripture is just full of this. It's just you could fill a whole page with passages of scripture that reveal God's providence. But here's a kind of an interesting and strange verse. In Proverbs 16:33, where Solomon wrote, "The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord." Now, what is the lot? You know what that means? The lot. What's he saying there? Okay, but they actually did that in a lot of cases. So there was a way. We could draw straws, or we could try to choose a card out of the deck, or we could roll a dice, where it seems like it's just luck, right? Well, they made important decisions. When Judas was out of it, they wind up with 11 disciples, and they need 12, and there was no appointment yet. And so they cast lots for such an important occasion. They made major decisions this way. This is not to recommend it at all, but it happened. And when it happens, the lot is cast into the lap, meaning it's done. It's in our lap. It's in our life. It's been done. But its every decision is from the Lord. So even when we think we're playing with luck or a roll of the dice, God is in control of that decision.
Does that mean he's causing us to decide and react a certain way? I mean, what I'm struggling with is, do I have any freedom? A robot that God is directing to do everything.
Well, on the fact of it, being a person, we know we're not a robot, because we make how many thousand decisions every day? We make decisions. But behind that is God doing it. We may not be aware that God is in it and doing it, but he's in control, even when we're not aware of it, is what this verse is saying. Casting a lot may not be depending upon God at that moment, but God is so great that he even covers that in our life, and he covers every decision, whether it's wise or unwise. That's why we don't have to go through life worrying about decisions we made in the past. Through God's word and by prayer, we do the best we can and we make decisions. Some of them are going to be wrong. No human being ever made perfect decisions, and God covers the wrong ones. That's grace. And so his providence works in our life in a wonderful way and deals with the facts and events in our life. And I think, too, Cindy, a part of the answer to what you were thinking about is that we respond. God is doing something, and we respond. We don't initiate salvation. We don't initiate about our Christian life. God is causing it to happen, but we do respond, and we do believe, and we do have faith. Where'd it come from? It came from God. But see, I want to stand and to anybody on this earth and be able to say, I believe in Jesus Christ. And I do. That comes from within. But God put it there. So it's both in. It's God's doing, and we respond. Yes, decision. Man does not have free will. He has a will. But only God's will is free. God can do anything he wants to do anytime he wants to do it. I can't. I can't, by my will, bring about a whole lot of things. God can. So my will is limited, sort of like Mike is saying, in the arena of who I am and where I am. So as we think through life, God gave us a mind. And as stewards, we are responsible to use that mind in the best way possible. And we must think, and think hard, and think deeply, and take time to think. In fact, that's pretty much a lost art today. People don't think. They just want to be amused. And we need to get beyond that in our Christian life, to think deeply about the great truths of God's Word, and to use that in our life. I suppose that through life here on earth, there is never going to be a simple, pat answer to all the questions that can arise. So what do? We bow before the Lord and worship Him and accept what He's taught us about it and trust Him for what He's revealed to us. Is God in charge of my life at this moment, here tonight? Yes. Since He loves me, could it be any better for me than it is right now? No. Amazing, isn't it? I think I told you about my brother. I have an older brother who's been has had illness probably 30 years. Major surgeries. And he gets his food doesn't do him any good, so he gets along for a couple hours a day and then he's down again. And he's just got all kinds of stuff wrong with him. But he's a firm believer in God's sovereign grace, in God's providence for him. His witness is strong, lives affected by the people who come to see him. And we talk on the phone a lot, and how is it with you? He said, if it could be any better, God would do it. Now we all have to say that. Or we question His love. God loves us supremely. So what He's doing is for His glory and our good. So we accept that and we worship Him. All right, let's go on to the third thought, which is closely related, called divine determinism. So let's try to think of the opposite of that. If you don't have divine determinism, what could you have? Human determinism, or what other?
Man's free will.
Well, yeah, human determinism, divine determinism, or satanic determinism. The three entities with life. God, man, angelic, Satan. So what we are saying here, the Bible teaches divine determinism. That God, and what this deals with, is causes and results. Predestination refers to human destiny. Providence deals with the facts and events of present life. Divine determinism deals with causes and results. Who brings all this about, and who controls the results? Divine determinism controls God's predestination. God can predetermine something way back there, but his determinism carries it out. So we're saying the Bible teaches divine determinism, working with causes and results. One well-known passage is Ephesians 1:11, where we simply read, where God works all things according to the counsel of his own will. Memorize that verse. Ephesians 1:11. God works all things according to the counsel of his own will, which is a determining will, and means that he needs wisdom from no one else. It's his own doing. Now there's just a ton of scriptures we could look at. Let's just look at one passage. And please turn to Isaiah 45. And let me encourage you to read constantly Isaiah chapter 40 through chapter 55. And just have that as a part of your life. And let the sovereignty of God flow in and take over life. Isaiah 40 through 55. Keep reading those passages, those chapters. Now, I'll read most of the chapter, and we'll catch the idea of God causing and bringing about results of what he will do. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held, to subdue nations before him and loose the armor of kings, to open before him the double doors so that the gates will not be shut. Cyrus is an unbeliever. And God is controlling this man to do and use him as he pleases. Verse 2. I will go before you. Now this is God saying what he will do. I will go before you, make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze, cut the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by name, am the God of Israel. So God is going to use a wicked, unbelieving king, teaching some things. For what purpose? That you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel my elect, I have even called you by your name. I have named you, though you have not known me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no God beside me. I will gird you, though you have not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. Strong, strong truth of God's own testimony about himself. There is no other God. It is our God and God alone. And here's what he does. He forms the light, and he creates darkness. And he makes peace, and he creates calamity or evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. We believe in divine determinism because that's what God is saying about himself, that he causes and he brings about the results. And he does this because he rules over the human will. And while God has created us with a will that is very, very strong. Sometimes we say, oh, he or she, that's a strong-willed child. Every child is strong-willed. It comes out in different ways. We are all strong-willed people. We are all stubborn people. We are all willing to resist God. We are all willing to rebel against God. And thank God He overrules the rebelling will and brings about His own triumph. Tomorrow, as your devotional time, read Daniel 4. And you'll read about Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was the king of the world. He had the greatest empire possibly in the history of the world. Nothing greater than Babylon. Nothing greater than the city of Babylon, which had walls 300 feet high, where chariots could race across the top of the wall, and where there was a palace that was second to none. And the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, one of the seven wonders of the world, Nebuchadnezzar ruled it all. And one day he said, "Look what I have done. Look at my empire and look at my possessions." And God struck him. God took his sanity from him, and Nebuchadnezzar became an animal and wandered and ate grass like an animal, and several other things happened. And after a period of time, God brought him back, and Nebuchadnezzar bowed before the Lord God and said, "Yes, you are the Lord, and there's no God like you." So God's divine determinism causes and rules what is happening. And so I was thinking that these statements ought to be clear in any doctrinal statement for our church, because this is what we should be believing, I think. Predestination, providence, and divine determinism, which causes us to be thankful for what he's doing.